faithfulness and attendance of the assemblies of the saints. We're going to have a lesson on that next week. We're going to have a sermon on that topic next week because it is something that's very important. And it goes hand in hand with what we're going to talk about this morning, which is soul winning. It's impossible for us to win souls if we're not faithful in the first place. So that'll go hand in hand with the lesson this morning. The scripture that was read in Matthew chapter 4, in verses 18 and 19, Jesus tells Peter and Andrew that he's going to make them fishers of men. And so you might think that I'm going to discuss that this morning, but I'm not. I'm going to share with you this morning some thoughts on hunting and soul winning. Hunting and soul winning. I know it's getting close to that time of year. I don't know when the season starts or if it's already started here. I know it had in Arkansas when we were over there. My cousin and his wife and all had come in. They had been hunting, or at least they had been giving the appearance of hunting. They had their camouflage on and their orange hat or whatever. And he came in and she came in and was talking about the deer that she saw and how she could have gotten that deer, except for one thing. Her husband wouldn't let her have a gun with any bullets in it. In fact, he showed us the gun that he had for her. It was a broomstick with a Coke can, or a Coke bottle rather, taped around it, and a little piece of plastic for a trigger, and she couldn't have shot anything with that. Unfortunately, when it comes to our application to soul winning, many times we are about as ill-equipped as that young woman was for hunting deer. We go out thinking we'll really be the soul winner for Jesus. We'll really go out there and we're going to help people come to know Jesus when we don't know many times scriptures to tell them. We don't. There are some that even have difficulty being able to tell someone what they did to become a Christian. That's sad. We've got to work on that. If we don't know what we did to become a Christian, how can we tell somebody else what they need to do to become a Christian? We need to know this. Now, I'm assuming that since we did become Christians, that we know, or at least at the time knew, how that was happening. That someone else was teaching us the process that was going to save our souls. Well, if they taught us, then if we've forgotten since then, we need to be reminded. We need to refresh ourselves. We need to study again those things so that we know them and so that we can reach out. But we want to compare a little bit hunting and soul winning because they are similar in some ways. Like hunting, we have to use something to attract the sinner, just as the hunter has to have some way of attracting the deer or whatever else he may be hunting, or else he has to know where to go to find the type of animal that is being hunted. I saw a show when I was substituting for Brother Lyle, saw a great show on turkey hunting. Not that I'm really interested in turkey hunting, but I saw it four or five times that day, and I got it down pretty good about the way these turkey hunters do, and they have their little turkey call that they make that will bring the turkey to them. It'll attract the turkey. Well, we have to have something like that in our Christian lives. We have to have something that's going to make people in the world say, I want to be like those people. And Jesus tells us what it's going to be, or what it should be at least. In John chapter 13 and verse 35, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. He says, there is one surefire way that people are going to know that we are his disciples. By your love, one for another. If you have love for one another, that's how people are going to know that we are Christians, that we are disciples of Christ. So we've got to use that. We've got to have that. And we've got to work together to develop that love for one another. It's not always easy. We don't always like each other. We don't always like someone who may be in coming to the church. We may not like something about them. May not like their lifestyle. May not like the way they talk. Any number of things that we may not like about that person. May not like the fact that they made fun of us back in the fourth grade. May not like the fact that they married the girl that we wanted to marry or the boy that we wanted to. There's all sorts of things we might not like about somebody. But Christian love has to overcome those likes and dislikes. Christian love is much deeper than whether I like something or not. The love that Christ wants us to have for one another is the love that will say, regardless of how I feel, I am going to want what's best for you, and I'm going to do everything to help you have what's best for you. We talked about that a little bit in class this morning, about if we really care about somebody, we are going to approach them when they're in sin with our fellow brothers and sisters. Now, of course, the world may not always recognize that as love because they're confused about what real love is. But they will eventually see that this group of people is something worth being a part of. They will see that if we have that love for one another. We've got to have some way of attracting them. Then we've got to know where to go. We, of course, find all sorts of ways of doing that. We go door knocking sometimes. We meet people on our job, or we meet people in our neighborhood, or we see people here or there or somewhere else. And we meet people. And so we have to take then the opportunity to test the waters. Find out. You know, when you're hunting for deer particularly, of course they have a doe season, but during most of the season you can't shoot the female deer. Only the male deer. The ones with the horns, with the antlers, those are the only ones that can be shot. So sometimes when you first see a deer, if you're out there hunting, and I know not all of you go hunting, I'm not a hunter myself, but I know how it works. When you see that deer first come over, sometimes you've got to wait a little bit till you can get a real good look to see whether that deer has antlers or not. Well, in our attempt at soul winning, we're going to have to test the waters. We're going to have to approach a person, and then we're going to have to ask some questions or join in some conversation with that person to find out, is this person someone who is at the point where I can approach them about the gospel? Or is this person not concerned about spiritual matters at all? We have to sometimes make that decision by the conversations we have with somebody. And it may take us a week, a month, a year of meeting this person and discussing things with them before we can discover whether they're really interested. Sometimes, though, we'll know right away. A person may right away say, well, don't you go to church? Well, let me ask you a question. And they right away have opened the door. Other times, they may say something like, yeah, you go to church now. I know y'all are always, I'm not interested in any of that religion hooey that y'all are involved in. So they've let us know right away they're not interested. Don't pursue that one. Find another one. So we've got to know which ones are available. We've got to know where to go, what to approach them. Then, of course, there are different methods when it comes to hunting. Some hunters use a rifle. Some use a muzzle loader. Some use a bow and arrow. They have different seasons, different times for all of these things. Well, in the same way, there are ways of going about converting someone, ways of going about teaching them the gospel. There are charts that we could use. We've got a good chart in a tract about the one true church. We could use that to teach somebody about the church and about the gospel and what it takes to become a Christian. We have videos. We have the Jewel Miller film strip that are they used to be film strip. Now they're on video. They're on a video cassette. You can take it, go and sit for about 25 minutes or so with somebody and watch that video together and then discuss what you've seen on that video. It discusses the Bible and what's necessary to become a Christian. There are our Bible correspondence courses that some people, we just mailed one to somebody that maybe lives far enough away that we can't go personally to them. Then there are also Bible study courses like the Fishers of Men or the Open Bible Study, and there are lots of others as well that you go and you study with the person. And there are lots of different methods of doing this, lots of different techniques. Then we see also with hunters, they do a lot of different things. Some of them use a deer stand, and they climb up in that deer stand, and they'll stay there the whole day, just waiting to see if the deer comes by. And then others move around. They go from one place to another. Maybe even they use dogs, and they follow the dogs to get the dogs to run. Or they're walking out through the... There are lots of different ideas about how to go about that. Well, in the same way, we have to think about where we're going to go. How are we going to do it? Are we going to just sit at home and wait for the sinners to come and knock on our door and ask the questions? That's probably not going to be very effective, is it? Not going to be a lot of folks that are eager enough to seek the truth that they're going to be knocking on our doors. But then there was mentioned in the prayer about the work down in Washington County and the attempt that's being made to start a work down there. There may be some that feel like they need to try to help with that. That maybe they feel like they've approached everybody that they know in this community and maybe they need to try a different community. Go some other people, preachers in particular, move from one place to another. They stay in one place for a while and they say, well, I've done all the good I can do here. I'm going to move somewhere. And they move all over the country sometimes. I know my dad has moved all the way from Texas to Colorado to Mississippi, Arkansas. He's been all over the place trying to do the best he can in all of those different places to bring souls to Christ. And there are lots of people may be forced to move by a job. Well, that opens up a lot of new opportunities to bring people to Christ. And Marvin's back visiting with us. He's moved away from here. He has the opportunity where he is now to be able to approach people and tell people, look, here's what I learned about becoming a Christian. Here's what I learned about we have to do what the Bible says and only what the Bible says and not what man says. And then he can maybe study with somebody and they can study together what the Bible says that they should do, how the Bible says that they should worship, how the Bible says that they should, what the Bible says they should teach, how the Bible says they should be saved, what they should do in order to be saved, all of these kinds of things. But these opportunities have to be taken. Then, of course, time. Time is very important. How many times have hunters gone out in the woods and for one reason or another, they just missed whatever it was they were after? Maybe they get to their tree stand where they like to go, and they see right under the tree stand some fresh deer dropping. Deer was just there a couple minutes ago. But maybe they stayed in bed too long, or maybe they ate breakfast too long, or maybe it just took them too long getting there in the pickup or whatever they went in, and they just missed it. You know, I think sometimes that can happen to us, that we miss reaching the lost because we delay too long. We don't approach them when they're interested. Maybe somebody will approach us even or ask a question, and we don't take that opportunity. We don't take that opportunity to teach them. I've heard of cases where someone maybe studied with somebody one time, and then something happened, that person moved away. And later on, they came across somebody else in the church. That person studied with them a little. And then they moved on somewhere else, and somebody else studied with them. And eventually, someone was able to reach that person. Well, if the first person had been able to start sooner, instead of just being able to study one time or a couple of times, maybe it could have brought that person to Christ all the sooner. And then, of course, there's always death. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. There's a death that's coming. I know I personally have experienced this situation, studying with someone and them dying before they had the opportunity, well, not before they had the opportunity, but before they made the decision to obey the gospel. And I asked myself, what if I had been able to start a couple of months earlier or a year earlier? If I'd been able to study with that person for longer than I did, would that have made a difference? Would that person be saved now if I had just begun studying with them sooner? And so we have to be very conscious of time and take every opportunity that approaches us to study God's Word with them. Then we see that a hunter must have a license. Hunter's got to have a license. I can't just go out and start shooting deer or turkeys or rabbits or whatever. Got to have a license. Well, in a sense, Christians have to have a license too. The good news is, though, we all have that license. We have what's referred to many times as the Great Commission, where the apostles are told that they're supposed to go into all the world, to all the nations, and make disciples. They're supposed to baptize them, and they're supposed to teach them to observe all the things that Jesus taught the disciples. And one of those things that Jesus taught the disciples was to go and teach other people. And so it was a perpetual loop. The disciples would go and make other disciples and teach them to go and make other disciples. And they would teach the next and teach the next. Paul makes the same remark to Timothy. He says, entrust this word to faithful men who will teach others also. He says it's got to be a continual thing. If it's not, the gospel would have died out nearly 2,000 years ago. It would have died with the first generation. But they were taught that they had to continue teaching. They had to teach the next one. We have a license to teach. If you are a Christian, if you have obeyed the gospel, if you have been saved by believing on Jesus and repenting of your sins and confessing Him and being baptized and into the church, and you're faithful to Him, then you've got that license. You've got everything you need to go out and hunt for souls. Because there's another hunter out there too. Satan's out there hunting for souls. But he's not out there to save the souls. He's out there to devour the souls. He doesn't want them to be saved. Then we must recognize the season. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, apparently it was still what to us would be maybe about April in the year, the spring of the year, maybe early summer. Because Jesus says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, you know, don't you think it's 4 months from the harvest? But then he says something very interesting. He says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Have you ever seen a cotton field? Cotton field's one that gets white for harvest. Boy, they're just little white balls of cotton everywhere out there in that field. And you know when it's time for harvest because you see all of those cotton bolls on the plants. With wheat, with corn, with just about every crop, you can see when it's time for that crop to be harvested. Jesus is teaching his disciples here, yes, in the year physically, they may have just planted the crop maybe 4 months away until harvest time, you know, in August or September time of the year. Of course, those weren't the months that they used, but in our reckoning. He says, yes, it may be that way. But he says, look. And he's talking about the spiritual harvest. Of course, the people in Jesus' day wore the big white toga robes. And I can just imagine a group of those people walking down the road as he's standing with his apostles and he says, behold, the fields are white unto harvest. Look at all those folks out there. Look at that whole crowd. You just can't see anything but souls that need to be harvested. We've got to know and recognize the season. After the tragic events of September 11, this is about as good a season as we're going to come across. People all over our nation have turned their hearts and minds back toward God. They've thought about God. They've thought about the importance of Him protecting us. They've thought about, now they may not be doing anything about it. They may still be living their lives just as they were, but they've thought about these things. Their minds are open to the concepts of Christ and His teaching. And we need to take advantage of that. If ever the fields were white unto harvest, it's now. Then, of course, we realize that hunting takes time and money and effort. It doesn't do me any good to call myself a hunter and sit in my house and watch hunting videos on TV. That's what was happening at one of the Thanksgiving get-togethers that I went to at one of my friends. They're in there watching this video about hunting deer or turkeys or I don't know what they were watching. They're watching that video, but not a single one of them had been hunting. They were just watching the, you know, oh, look at that, that's good. Oh, they're not going to catch any deer like that. Now, certainly there's a place for learning some techniques and things like that, which would be good, but you've got to actually get out there in the woods if you're going to hunt. You're going to have to go where the deer are. Well, it takes time to do that. Same way with Christianity. It takes time to evangelize. It takes time. A lot of time. It takes money because you're going to have to be driving your car or making phone calls or doing all sorts of things. It's going to take some money to do this. It's going to take some effort. Because people are notorious. And I know some of you know this, just as sure as I'm standing here. You know how people are about canceling out at the last minute, after you've arranged your schedule to be able to be there for an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours to study with somebody, and they just call at the last minute just as you're about to leave to go. And they say, well, we're not going to be able to do it this time. But it takes an effort. You had to make that effort even though you didn't get anything out of it. You know, hunters, I don't know what the average is. It'd be interesting to know if they've done a study of that. How many hours hunters have to go out hunting in order to get every animal that they get. And I've known a lot of hunters that hunted and hunted and hunted and never found. But the key is the hunting. They're still hunters. They're not finders, but they're hunters. And that's what it means to hunt. You go out and look for it. You go out and try to find it. God didn't ever promise us that we would be finders. He didn't promise us that. He didn't promise us that everybody we studied with would obey the gospel. In fact, far from it. He gave the indication that that was far from the way it would be. In the parable of the sower, he indicated out of that whole group, only one out of four in that group was converted to Christ and became faithful to Him in the story there that he told. Then, of course, we have to take care of what we catch. We have to take care of it. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, feeding it and giving it a nice place to sleep and all that. We know when we go hunting that when somebody goes hunting, they're going hunting to kill that animal. But they have to take care of that animal. They've got to clean it. And then they've got to store it. They've got to either freeze it or cook it or prepare it in some way so that it won't spoil, that it won't ruin. Well, the same thing is true with Christianity. Once we actually do get somebody, once we convert somebody, once we have a new Christian, that's not the time to stop and say, oh, well, we're done now. What would that be like if the hunter went out in the woods and shot the deer and said, oh, that wasn't that great, let's go home now, and left the deer laying there in the woods? Or maybe they went to the trouble, and maybe they got it and put it in the back of their pickup and drove it home, and everybody comes out and looks at it, oh, I see the deer, isn't that great? That's wonderful. And then they just left it there. Never cleaned it, never skinned it, never cut it up, never never even went to the trouble to mount the head. Well, you know, now a lot of hunters will mount the head. They care less what happens to the meat. They didn't want that big deer head on them. But what would we think about that? We'd think that fellow's crazy. Why is he doing that? He wasted his time. He went out there, shot that deer, and then just let it rot in the back of his truck or out there in the woods. Got to take care of it. The same thing with the new Christian. We come in, we bring the new Christian in, we bring the disciple in and baptize them, new Christian, and then like a little baby, unable to fend for itself, what do we do with it? Well, with a little baby, you take it home and you feed it, you keep it warm, you teach it. We've got to do the same thing with our new Christians. We've got to feed them. Keep them warm with fellowship and love. Clothe them in Christ. Says they put on Christ. When you obey the Bible, as many of you have been baptized, have put on Christ. That's not the end. That's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. And then, of course, the obvious difference. The hunter is out there to kill the game that he's hunting, but the Christian is out there to save the soul that he's hunting. And like I said, the devil's the one that's out there hunting to destroy, and we need to beat him to it. You know, a lot of people put a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort into hobbies like hunting. It may not be hunting for you, it may be something else. Maybe sewing or fishing or cooking or any number of other things. It may just be watching TV. People put a lot of time, money, and effort into those things. Are we willing to put as much time, money, and effort into hunting for lost souls? We better be. Jesus said that we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We need to seek that first. If we're more interested in finishing the crossword puzzle in the newspaper and then finishing a Bible study with somebody else, then ask ourselves, have I got my priorities right? Now certainly we know there's room for recreation. There has to be. We burn ourselves out if all we ever did was continually be teaching someone. There has to be time for relaxation and recreation. Jesus took time for that. Jesus didn't teach 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He took time to go out with His disciples while they were fishing and sleep in a boat. He took time to go to a wedding and enjoy the feast. He took time to go to Zacchaeus' house and have dinner. Now, He took the opportunity there to teach Zacchaeus some things, and Zacchaeus, as a result of that, repented and said, if I've wronged anybody, I'll give them back 4 times what I've taken from them. So he took that opportunity to do some teaching, but he still was enjoying some recreation. He went to Simon's house. He went to Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. He took time for recreation. I'm not saying that we don't ever take time for that. We need to take time for that. But what's more important? If all we ever do is relax and take time for recreation, and we never take time to share the gospel, what are we saying is most important? We need to think about that. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 21 through 23, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a difference. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. We need to understand how important soul winning is. We need to understand, you know, hunting nowadays is pretty much a recreation. They go hunting and eat the meat, but primarily it's for the sport of it and for the trophy of the big turkey or whatever it is they've hunted. But there was a time in the past, not too awful long ago, when hunting was the way that men fed their families. And back then, it was a lot more important to those men, and they took it a lot more seriously, I imagine, than what we do today. I think about that cousin that went hunting Thursday morning. He went hunting, didn't get anything. No big deal. Come to the house and have a big Thanksgiving dinner of a turkey that we bought at the store. Well, it didn't used to be that way. It used to be if you wanted to eat meat, you had to go out and get it yourself. You had to either be raising something like sheep or cattle or something, or else you had to go out and hunt it down and get it. They were doing that for their survival. They were hunting for life, to live, to be able to survive. As Christians, we need to understand, we need to be out hunting souls, not as a recreation, not just for the fun of it, not just when we feel like it, but we need to be doing it for our survival. We need to be doing it for our survival. God told Ezekiel that he had set him up and put him in a place where if he warned the sinful and they turned from their way, that soul would be saved. If he warned the sinful and they didn't turn from their way, then that sinful person would be lost, but Ezekiel, your soul's going to be saved. But then he told Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, if you see the wicked and you don't warn them that they're lost, that they're wicked, that they're on their way to destruction, guess what's going to happen? Ezekiel, that person's going to be lost, they're going to be destroyed, and you're going to be guilty of their blood. We've got to think about how important it is to try to save souls. It's a matter of, not just a matter of life and death. We talk about things as being serious when they're a matter of life and death. Some people think that's the most serious thing in the world, when something's a matter of life and death. That's not the most serious thing in the world. Saving souls is the most serious thing in the world because it's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. That makes it much more important. Much, much more important. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, God and Satan are both hunting for you. If you come to God, you'll be put in the wildlife refuge, so to speak. Protected. Allowed to live. If you allow Satan to hunt you down, you'll become a trophy in his hell. Nothing more. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You need to come to God. Get your life right with Him so that you can know that you've made a decision that has eternal consequences, and that you have saved your soul for eternity. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been living as you should. Perhaps you haven't been out seeking to save the lost. Perhaps not only that, but you've been actually hindering others who are trying to seek and save the lost. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.